Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome you to step inside the lion's lair, a place to explore our curiosities, the paranormal, angels, spirits, orbs. We will share our real-life experiences and invite you to do the same. With your hosts, Adriana Arts and Iggy Garcia. Our call-in number is 646-595-3440.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Lion's Lair. Tonight's topic, poltergeist. I personally have some experience with maybe a few of those. I'm not sure, but definitely an interesting topic and one that I did want to discuss. And later in the show, I have a few things I'm going to speak about, and then later in the show, I would invite, if anyone's listening that has a personal experience with an actual poltergeist, I invite you to call in. The number 646-595-3440. Give us a call, and we will be more than happy to let you share your real-life experience with us also. So first, I did not do a ton of research this time because I really don't like research. It's just not one of my strong suits. But I also really wanted to make this more a sharing experience, too. I definitely need to share after this first segment, and probably going to take 15, 20 minutes maybe. So, but yeah, poltergeist, they are may refer to a troublesome spirit or ghost that manifests itself by moving and influencing objects. In folklore, the word poltergeist comes from the German language poltern, which means to make sound or to rumble, and geist, which means spirit or ghost. So it translates as noisy ghost or rumble ghost or a loud spirit. They have been traditionally described as troublesome spirits who haunt a particular person instead of an actual particular location. And they have been reported in many countries and cultures besides the U.S., over in Japan, Brazil, Australia, most European nations. And the early accounts really go back to the first century. I was led to a story about England's most haunted house, the Borley Rectory. And what's interesting is when this story comes from, I acquired from, that was written, Reader's Digest put it out, Strange Stories and Amazing Facts. And this is where my information for the Borley Rectory, it's in Essex, England. And this house was built in 1863, and it's an old Victorian building. And for more than a century, there have been sightings of things like phantom coaches, a nun, she was seen several times by many different people, a headless man, and there were reports of poltergeists throwing things around, people hearing footsteps, and like with the coach, you know, horse hoofs and everything. Objects appeared and disappeared in this house. There were bells ringing, and some reports of even writings on paper and writings on the walls in there. So this house was built on the site of a medieval monastery for the Reverend Henry Dawson Ellis Bull. And he had a wife and 14 children. So as soon as they moved in, things started happening. Almost immediately, I believe. They were hearing footsteps, bells ringing. They were hearing voices. One of his daughters reported being awakened by a slap in the face. Another daughter reported seeing a dark figure of an old man wearing a really tall hat by her bed. Later, one of the sons, Harry Bull, took the house over from 1892 all the way through to 1927. And when he was on the property, he reported the headless man, the phantom coach, and his four sisters were together, and all of them, in fact, reported seeing a nun. So this nun has been seen, actually through all this time by other people, so outside of the land, I believe. So in 1929, poltergeists were actually recorded, I guess, for the first time, and I did not really say exactly how. A lot of this, you know, was written reports also. Some objects had appeared that were, you know, that you just couldn't explain. And some of those things were like pebbles, keys, and metals. And I'm not talking metal with a T. I'm talking like medallion things, you know, religious metals are around, you know, probably a nun. So one had the head of a saint engraved on it. So that was in 1929, they really started recording, you know, these type of experiences. So from 1930 to 35, a Reverend Lionel Foister and his wife, whose name was Mary Ann, and his daughter Adelaide were in the house. And this was the time when there was reports of these scribbles and writings that appeared on the walls and on paper and stuff. One, they had a photograph in this book of one of the messages, and it looked like it said, "Mary Ann, get help," and that would have been the mother that it was referring to. So also while they were in this house for this 5 years, they heard a lot of footsteps. A voice actually called out Mary Ann by her name. And she also reported an invisible assailant had attacked her. And this was the first record of someone actually being hurt on the property by a poltergeist. They also noted that they would really catch the smell of lavender, that it was present quite a bit, I think, when these things happened. So I found that interesting. I'm not sure, you know, how much of that was on the property, but obviously they made a note, so I am assuming that there wouldn't be any lavender at the time when this was noticed. So finally, experts were actually called in to investigate all of these happenings in 1937. And this investigation was led by a man named Harry Price. And he was the founder of Britain's National Laboratory of Psychic Research, basically. And he ran an ad in the Times. And he was looking for people to assist him on this investigation. And this was going to be a lengthy investigation. So he ran an ad, and he was looking for people who were very unbiased in their opinions, one way or the other. He kind of, I think, was looking for people that were, you know, skeptical of everything. He really wanted to just make, find proof that all of these happenings that had been reported all of this time had existed. So I heard in another interview about this that he actually leased the house for about a year to do this investigation. And from the ad, he had taken roughly around 200 applications. You know, there were people that really wanted to jump on board and figure out the truth too, I believe. Out of all of those applicants, he only chose around 40 to 50 people. But these were, you know, people, very credible people, you know, he felt it. And they were some pretty prominent people, you know, and upstanding people in the community. So in this year that they, different people, you know, stayed in the house and gave these reports of what they experienced in there. They had reported objects being moved. One man was in a sealed room and was hit by like a piece of soap. There was nothing in the room. This room was sealed. And he was actually struck, you know, by an object and went to find that it was like a piece of off of the soap, you know, like a bar of soap. Another man also noticed that when he was at one area of the house, he noticed an immediate 10-degree drop in the temperature. So that was pretty interesting. The rectory was actually damaged by fire in 1939, and several people at the time of this fire seen a girl in the window. Two people were actually seen leaving the house the night of the fire, you know, getting out of the house. But at the time of the fire, only one person, which was the new owner at the time, was reported as actually being there. So I guess they really don't know who the other person was that was seen leaving the house also. Made me wonder, you know, if you were a poltergeist, would you really have to leave the house in a fire? I just kind of questioned that one. I was a little bit curious. So in 1943, this site was excavated, and about 3 to 4 foot down, workers found fragments of a woman's skull and some religious pendants. So I took that to be probably the nun that everyone had been reporting, that she was definitely seen by quite a few people, one of the most popular sightings, I guess, there. Events at this house actually continued up to like 1961, and during an investigation at that time, there was they went back to this property. So the house isn't there. They're on the property, I guess. And there was another investigation going on. And at that time, all the torches, the headlights, and the camera flashes all failed during this investigation. Nothing apparently would light up. And I am assuming, you know, there's no building, so this was, I'm assuming, all outdoors. I don't know if any other buildings on the property, you know, were not excavated. So at some point, seances were actually held, and the people, researchers that had attended these seances learned through there that there was a young French nun, her name was Marie, who was induced to leave the convent to marry one of the Waldengraves of Bourley. And her actual fiancé strangled her, they said, in 1667, and her body was supposed to be buried in the cellar of this property. So that's the end of the Bourley Rectory research that I did, but definitely an interesting story. And come to find out, there's an independent film being made now exactly on this place, and it is the first one, from my understanding, that anyone has even decided to do on this property, which is kind of amazing since this is the most famous haunted house in England and has had so many reports for, you know, over a century. That, I believe, is due to be released in 2016, and I will be very anxious to see how see about either how we're going to go watch it or getting a copy of it. And I do believe this is going to concentrate more on Harry Price and the year that he was in that house with these applicants. That's more what this is going to be focused on. And if you go to Facebook and go to the rectory, you will have a link to this information, and there's a very good radio blog where they interview about this story, and it's really interesting. I suggest go and actually just type in the rectory on Facebook and go onto that page, and you will see, you'll learn a lot more about this place. But this definitely was where I was led. And I find it funny that a movie will be coming out in 2016 about this. Another thing I find funny is, besides Iggy, he's over there pointing at himself. another thing I find funny is that my topic, Poltergeist, there's a movie coming out, I believe, in May, in a couple of months, where they have remade the movie Poltergeist from 1982. And I believe Iggy looked into some of the history behind the original film and some of the cast or crew in there, some events that happened afterwards. Hi, Iggy.
Hey, hi, how you doing? Well, a lot of it's rumor, and a lot of it's, you know, did these people really die because of the movie? I can't say they really necessarily died because of the movie, the curse of the movie. There's this curse that they talk about. So, pulling it up on my computer here real quick, because that was kind of interesting. I didn't, because I remember the little girl. She actually got sick and she died. I remember when she was in the movies. Her name was, her character was Carrie Ann.
Yeah.
In the movie. And then the older sister, she was, I think she drowned or was murdered. I don't remember the exact, you know, no one really knows exactly what happened to her. But that was another curse of the Poltergeist movie. And then there was two other characters as well, who one played a good spirit and one played a bad spirit, and they all died within months after making the movie. So there's four confirmed people who supposedly had the curse of the Poltergeist movie. So
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So makes you wonder, you know.
I don't know. When you start playing with things that you don't know, and you don't set good boundaries, and you don't set good, you know, parameters, and sage and cleanse and clear the space, anything could really happen. You can manifest.
And you invite a lot of things in. That's why I typically take things very serious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people will joke, and you can joke. I'm not saying that you can't, like, oh, she's seen a ghost, you know, or she said her ghost did this, or poltergeist, or whatever. But I typically don't really joke about those things. I take them pretty serious.
And none of the deaths occurred on...
Yeah, on the set.
On the set, so, yeah, just
well, that's good
clarification.
Yeah, that's definitely good to know. Another reading that I kind of was led to is, it was kind of interesting. It touched on some points that I really just briefly want to touch on. I did not want to go into all the technicalities of everything, especially in the scientific or medical field, because I'm not involved in either one.
Mm-hmm.
I am in this field that we call real life world, and sometimes I'm in, you know, a couple other dimensions too. But I'm not really going to debate that this exists on this show, because I personally have an experience to share after I give you this little tidbit. But in this other reading, some people believe poltergeist activity is caused by an unconscious form of telekinesis. And what telekinesis is a psychic ability allowing a person to influence a physical system or object without actually having physical interaction with that object. So some people believe that poltergeist activity is caused by an unconscious form of this, and that it takes place around a particular individual. Usually this individual tends to be a young person or you know, before preteen or around a teenager, getting ready to go through puberty, and that is when they're experiencing a lot of emotional problems. So they think that due to the hormonal and emotional changes of a child, you know, during this time in their life, that the negative energy may actually be thrust outwardly sometimes, which causes this moving or destroying of things telekinetically.
I thought you were talking about my marriage.
those things you can see.
Throwing things around.
Yeah, they also said, Doc, activity can cease just as suddenly as it started. And I find that interesting also. And it can last anywhere from a few hours to a few years. Poltergeist phenomena is a focus of study within parapsychology. And parapsychology is a field of study which is concerned with investigating paranormal and psychic phenomena. So poltergeist phenomena, like I said, is a focus of that study within there. And parapsychologists define poltergeist activity as a type of uncontrolled psychokinesis, which is also means the same as telekinesis. They both are derived from the Greek language. And you can look that up. I didn't
read
that. Love
those Greeks, right?
All right. But poltergeist activity as a type of uncontrolled psychokinesis and tends to occur around a single person, once again, called an agent or a focus. And again, they said typically this is a preteen, but they actually say female. And I noted that it was noted that in both of the poltergeist movies, they do have a female that they are using as the agent or the focus in there. I do think they tried to, they kind of took this point on that in the making of their movie. So, in it, I also read that almost 70 years of research by the Rhine Research Center in Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina, has led to the hypothesis among parapsychologists that the poltergeist effect is a form of psychokinesis generated by a living human mind and is the outward manifestation of psychological trauma. So I found that interesting. It seems like in this field, they pretty much put this around an actual individual. And that's quite different from, I'm not sure if it's quite different, actually, from what I read about the Borley Rectory. That seems to be on the ground, you know, but I don't know. There also seem to be children always present in that house for those hundreds of, you know, 100 years.
So you're saying that there, that somehow kids are manifesting or allow, or some kind of channel or some kind of key?
The scientific medical people, that's what they're saying. That's not really what I'm saying at all.
Okay.
Because in my personal experience, I don't have any children. Now, yes, I probably have some psychological traumas in there.
We'll all raise our hand on that one, right?
Yeah, everybody raise your hand that has that. So I don't think it's limited to just a person or just the place either. I don't see why it can't be a combination of both myself. I think that's probably my poltergeist is probably a combination of both. And we'll get to that here in just a little bit. I have one last thing. There is also what's called a wrath version of a poltergeist, and we're talking like the wrath of an angry person. And what this is when a person dies in a powerful rage at the time of their death, and then that person is believed to come back to fulfill vengeance. And in some cases, the vengeance is that this person had, you know, at the time of their death, it's too strong for them to let go of or to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the metaphysical ghost actually becomes a poltergeist at that time. So I thought that was interesting. I definitely have, that's one thing I wonder about a lot.
Well, our poltergeist just walked in the door.
Yeah. That's one thing I wonder about a lot is, and this is from a personal experience of mine, which was very traumatic. When a person dies a sudden tragic death, that's, was really never even know why it happened. Just, you know, in a blink of an eye. What happens to that person's spirit? They didn't have time to process anything. It was so sudden and so tragic. And I was actually around this person at the time that it happened. So I've always wondered, is perhaps my poltergeist even this man?
Hmm.
Has he stayed with me? Because I was actually there when this happened. I was the only person there with him. So that brought up a good point there. You know, things that I'm curious about, things that I wonder about. And that story, I'm sure, will come out on another show, but it's not going to be this one. You'll just have to stay tuned. We'll have many, many more, I hope. So that actually officially ends my research on poltergeist. And now I kind of want to just share my personal experience that I've had, and this has happened. The first experience happened in... Okay. The first experience happened March 16th, 2012. And this kind of threw me for a loop. I really had not even thought about ghosts or poltergeists at this time. However, I will point out that this happened to be a very traumatic time for me. I just went through a very destructive, hurtful breakup, and my whole life just was turned upside down pretty much in a blink of an eye. When I found this place, this was not where I wanted to live, but it became readily available and at the right time to where I had to move there. So I did have some trauma when I first moved into this, my home where I am now. And that's where my actual experience really begins. I need to do a time check, I think. I don't have my... how are we doing on time? 3 minutes. Okay. Well, we have about 3 minutes, so do
I just... We just go to break now before you get into your whole
story.
Yeah,
let's just go to a break now. How's
right.
that? I don't want to put a teaser there.
Well, I think you teased them.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
You are listening to The Lion's Lair with Adriana Arts. This month's topic is poltergeists. We're back.
All right. Thank you, Iggy. We're so glad to be here. I hope you're enjoying the show so far. I actually needed that little break, so thank you for that also. Had to get my thoughts together because I did not write down this whole timeline about my experience with my poltergeist. But I do... I do know it started. I moved into my home January the 4th of 2012, and my first experience was March the 16th, 2012. And like I said at the time, I just went through some trauma, emotional trauma, and it was a really hard time for me. But I also was a lot more at peace with where I was and getting on with my life. So I guess I had a lot of anger and stuff still inside me, which, you know, that's one of the things I always struggle with anyway. So I definitely had a lot of that going on, even though, and I lived alone. I still live alone and have decided that's still the best thing for me at this point. But so anyway, on to my experience. First, I have to explain my bells. I have always hung bells or wind chimes at my doors. They will signal someone coming or going, and they kind of, when you are a woman and you live alone and you have stalkers out there every now and then, no, I'm not talking about Todd. Todd's in the house, our motto, bless his heart. Hi, Todd. you know, when you are a woman and you live alone, every little bit of warning would help if someone was to come into your home. So I've always hung bells and wind chimes and things that make noise at my doors and my windows. You will not come in quietly, trust me. And there will be enough time from the time something rings that my dog will alert me that there that something rang, even if I'm in sleep. My dog is trained to, she is trained by these bells. That's just how I operate. So there's why I went there with a little bit of insight, but there you go. There's my bell. So they're hanging at my door. They actually hang on my door, some of them. There are not just one. There's a few, and I actually posted like three photographs of the three prompt bells that interacted.
I've seen your bells.
Yeah,
so. That hanging on your door.
That interacted with me. I actually posted photos of the first three. So the first one looks like a jingle bell, and it's not, you know, suspended from string or anything. It actually is suspended from what looks like one of those little roach clip things. Whatever, and it's a nice size for a jingle bell, and it actually hangs on the door plate. So, like I said, it's not really suspended down. You know, it's just right there, and it's not easy to move. You have to, you know, really apply some pressure or kind of hit it to even make it this move. However, if you open the door, it's going to drop. And it's going to make a loud cling on the floor. So my first experience, my niece was going on vacation in March, and she had asked me to babysit her dog, and little Frankie. And he was a little dog, sort of like David's dogs. I think he might even be that breed. Loves me, has never, you know, I've been around him all his life, and he is out 13, 14 years old. So, and he's a little barker, you know, he's definitely a good little guard dog, like David's bow, you know, he mm-hmm. barks when anything's around. Little Frankie does too. So, my niece and her husband had come, and they dropped him off, and they gave me everything, and, you know, his food, and all that, and everything was fine. I kissed him goodbye. I shut my door, and this was about, you know, 10:20 at night when they left. They had to go to the airport. So I was getting little Frankie settled and trying to get him into the bedroom because I actually had brought my dog home. I just met her, and we were brought together, and she was just a baby. My lover girl. So she was actually in the bedroom and on the bed and oblivious to anything, I think. But I wouldn't be 100% sure. But she definitely was very young. So I was trying to get little Frankie in there. And I said, you know, I was leading in there. I got myself something to drink and checked a few things, put a few things away. So about 10:30, I'm like, okay, time to, you know, go to bed, lock the door. So I'm putting my bells on my door. And while I'm standing there at the front door, I hear this noise behind me. And it was a really loud, I could not explain, I really can't explain this noise. The best way, I think, that I can explain it, this, if you've ever watched a movie that had a submarine, one of those old movies with this, you know, one of those metal, big metal submarine going down, and after they go, you know, so many thousands of feet, they really just start getting crushed by the pressure of the ocean. And that horrible sound of a submarine getting crushed underwater, it sounded like bending metal, but it was really, really loud.
Have you been on a sub?
Huh?
Have you been on a sub?
No, I said if you've ever watched a movie,
and
actually that's the closest I can relate to the sound that I actually started hearing behind me, which scared me because the only thing behind me is my closet where I hang coats. It's a very small entryway here, so we're dealing within a space of about 5 feet. So when I hear this noise, and it's really loud, and it actually felt the vibration, and the way I want to describe that is if you are sitting in your house and somebody's playing a really loud song with the bass, you know, all about the bass on it, and they drive by your house and your windows shake, and you actually can feel that bass's vibration, you know, I felt this noise, this vibration. I knew it, I felt it also. I didn't just hear it, and it was really a terrifying sound to where I whipped around to look and see what in the world could be right there at my closet in this small entryway, and I actually ducked because I felt the vibration coming at me, too. And if had I not have ducked, I think that thing would have probably slapped me right down to the ground.
Really?
I really ducked, and like... felt so after I duck, I'm looking up, there's nothing there, and then I actually feel, and the only way I can describe this is this noise that's going past me because I had ducked, okay, and so now it's towards the side of my face, and it felt like if there was a bird flying past your ear. If you actually take your hand and kind of flutter on your ear, I actually felt that. I felt something almost like I thought of wings, like wings fluttering past me, but actually hitting my ear, even though I could not see anything. So this all happened in a split second. Literally, it was so fast. This thing's coming at me. I hear it. I duck because I feel it. Next thing I know, something's going past my ear, and I actually feel that too. In the meantime, there's little Frankie, who barking and barking and barking very aggressively at the corner of my door. He's looking at something, and he is just, like, barking and barking. He actually barked right before this noise had started. Because I turned, I was putting my bells on the door, and I looked at him, and I said, Frankie, hush up. I said, you know, what are you barking at? I'm looking, because he's looking, like, up at the ceiling, right at the corner of my front door. And he's just barking really aggressive, like charging. And I'm like, what are you barking at? Calm down. Shh. You're going to wake the neighbors, you know. I mean, and so I'm trying to get him calm, and then this loud noise happened, and that event happened. Well, once I felt that past my ear, and then the noise just stops, the dog's going out of control, barking aggressively, charging towards the corner of the door, which is right beside me. And so I don't even have time to really process everything. I'm trying to pick him up, get him calmed down because he was really, really loud. And like I said, this is like started at 10:30 at night, and I do have neighbors right there next to me. And So I'm trying to get him calmed down, and I say, look, there's nothing here. There's nothing here. I'm looking, I have him in my arms. I'm trying to look out the window and think, what in the world was that noise, you know, or was it my neighbors maybe playing? I'm trying to dismiss this whole thing somehow. Some part of my brain was just saying, this didn't happen, or there's a reason, you know, this noise was the neighbor's stereo next door or something. You know, but that doesn't explain this thing next to my ear. And that, you know, I mean, I was just like, my mind was off the chart right then. Plus, I'm dealing with an erratic dog who did see this thing and felt this thing before it ever started coming at me, which was, I found also interesting. I've always heard that animals can sense and see spirits when we can't, and children, too. I've heard that about both. So I tend to believe that now, for sure. So anyway, I have him, and I literally open up my door. I've got him in my arms, and I'm going, look, there's nothing outside. I don't know what you're barking at looking out this door. And I'm, you know, trying to get him calm. I shut the door, and he still wouldn't shut up. So I literally take him into the bedroom where my dog is on the bed. And like I said, she's a baby, and she's playing with a toy, you know. So I put him in my bedroom. Well, first I actually shut the door again because I did open it so he could see nothing was outside of the door. And I put the bells back on. And so then I get him, and I'm taking him into the bedroom. And I open up the door, and I just tie him down in there and scoot him in. And I thought, I've got to get some water. I've got to get something to drink. And I still haven't really processed any of this yet, because this was just in so fast and in a matter of no time at all, really. And so I'm shutting my bedroom door to keep him in there and hoping that he's going to calm down. And right before I pull the door all the way shut, I hear my bell, my jingle bell, ringing. That's hanging at my door, and this is probably about 30 feet away. But from where I was standing at outside of my bedroom door, I couldn't see the front door. I had to step back and actually peer sort of around a wall to focus on the front door. But yeah, when I heard my jingle bell. This one right here, if you can hear that. It was hooked onto the door plate, and this bell was literally, I could see it moving. So I'm going to hand you my bell, and you tell me how much, you know, what you have to do to make that bell go really, really fast. That's not even it. He's swinging it around. You can't see him, and I know, but
yeah.
That's not making it ring like it was ringing on my door. That kind of is. So how much energy is that called?
A lot. I'm the poltergeist. I'm here.
I know, but seriously, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To move that bell.
It takes a lot of
like
effort.
Like that, it takes a lot.
Yeah.
So here I am looking at this bell hanging from my door, and I see it moving, and I hear it literally ringing like that. So I just shut the bedroom door, and I was in complete awe. I was just in awe. I was in shock. Because then, at this point, I'm starting to process the noise that went past my head, the dog barking, the noise going past my head, me ducking from this vibration associated with this noise, and then actually feeling this flutter on my ear. It's all starting to process right at this point when that bell started ringing, and I'm looking at it all the way across the room, and I can't see a thing except my bell ringing. And I just addressed it right then. I was in awe, and then I started processing really fast everything that just happened in that time frame, and then I just pointed and said, I don't know who you are or what you want, but I am not in the mood for this shit tonight. That's exactly what I said. I probably shouldn't have said the S word, but that's what I said.
Hey.
And I meant it. I couldn't handle any more, and the bell stopped. So then I'm like silence, you know, I'm in dead silence in this house.
Ooh, that's probably worse.
Yeah, I know. I was just like, so I go in, I get a glass of water and I go back into my bedroom, and normally I would keep my door open. That night I did not. I went into my bedroom with my two puppies that were in there, and I shut the door. And so then I laid in bed. I turned out the lights. I'm laying in bed, and I'm really starting to process all of what had just happened to me, you know, in a physical sense, too. And then I realized I'm not afraid. It's not here to hurt me. I'm not afraid. And that kind of shocked me. Typically, I would have been scared to death. I mean, you know, my typical reaction, I do think, would have been to be afraid and scared to death. And anybody that I've actually told that story to said, man, I'd have been running out the door.
So why do you think you weren't scared?
That's the realization I had when I laid down. I said, it's not here to hurt me. And this bell ringing actually has kind of led me here to where I am sitting right now and to you. If it wasn't for me being so curious and wanting to look into some stuff a little further. But this wasn't the only bell either. So what's weird is I've had three bells, and they different events and three different bells. And this all happened within a period of about a year, a year's time frame. So you've got 3 or 4 months in between events here. And in that time, no actual physical noisy ghost actually happened. But I did have some other experiences which involve spirits. And that's going to be a topic on another show also, so you'll have to tune in for that. I did have some other very different experiences with some other forces and energies in this time. But these are my actual noisy times, the noisy ghost, the poltergeist time. So about 4 or 5 months later, whatever it was, the next event happened. And again, these events have all three happened at the same time at night, 10:30 to 10:45 p.m. And so I kind of am led to believe that maybe I was emotional, maybe through trauma that I, you know, was getting over, I was open to something, because I, you know, I'm open to a lot of things. I have a very open mind, and that's through my own personal experiences. But I think it's associated with where I live. I think this is also associated with the ground that this house is built on, which led me on a whole other journey to researching all of that and finding out some, you know, really disheartened. It was not a joyous experience to read about most of the land in Ohio and how it was acquired and everything. But I do think it led me to the visit from a spirit that I had in this time also. It led me to some information about her. So it all is going to tie in, you know, eventually here. And I'm still working on this puzzle. So the next event happened, like I said, about 4 or 5 months later. And my dog was, of course, 4 or 5 months older. And we were in bed at night. I was actually reading a book at the time, very quiet. I usually don't have TV or, you know, if anything, I have soft music maybe playing. I don't like a lot of electricity, and I do not like a lot of noise. Electricity tends to magnify my surroundings too much, and it irritates me. And noise can too. Sometimes I like to jam out with my stereo, but not usually. So this night, I was actually nothing on, just the light next to my bed, and I was reading, and my dog was laying in bed. And all of a sudden, we heard a loud crash I mean, I could not imagine what just fell, that I even had anything that could fall that would make that much noise. It was really, really loud. So the lights are all off in the other part of the house. I always keep a night light in the kitchen, which kind of lit up into the front door area. And when I go in there looking to see what happened, my dog flew off the bed. She's barking, thinking, you know, she heard something. Mm-hmm. So she's barking and going right for the spot. Well, it happened to be at the front door again. So this is at the same spot that this activity happens in my house also. And so I get over there and I'm turning on lights. I can see something on the floor and she's right over there. But instead of barking at the front door, my dog was barking at the closet right directly opposite the front door in that 5-foot area. And so when I get the lights on and I go over there and look, I have a really heavy brass old-style door knocker, you know, like a ringer. It's a bell, but it's supposed to be hung outside and you really could ring it to announce your presence, you know. It was a gift to me, and I just love it. And it's really heavy. It's solid brass, and it's not, you know, small. It's probably 6-7 inches maybe altogether, maybe a little more. But it is solid brass. It's very, very heavy. And this bell that actually is bolted onto my wall with a really heavy screw, the bell itself is hooked to the wall hanger. It's actually screwed in, and when I get in there, this heavy, the actual bell and the ringer is all the way across, and from the sound of the crash and the noise that was made and from where my dog went directly to the closet, this bell was actually unscrewed from the hanger and had to be thrown against that opposite wall over there because that's where it dropped on the floor. So the loud crash was, I think, had to be the bell actually hitting the wall. But keep in mind, it also was unscrewed from its holder that's anchored onto the wall.
Okay.
Yeah, so it turned a screw, and this came, this whole bell got flung, I think, across and fell directly to the floor opposite wall, about 5 or 6 feet away at the most, 5 foot maybe in there, 6 feet in that space. And my dog is actually barking at the closet, which is also interesting because that is where the noise from the first experience came from, was my closet there. So that was interesting. So once I realized, I thought, even then, I just thought, okay, let's explain this one away. You know, I'm trying to find this logical reason how that bell came unscrewed and was all the way across there. And I took it for what it was. You know, here, you're here again. So you're definitely trying to get my attention, or you're angry or something. But geez, you're scaring the heck out of me now at this point, you know, because so many months had went by and there was nothing at all. And so I pick up these pieces, and the little screw that came unscrewed from this bell, I couldn't find on the floor. So I picked up the bell and I picked up the little, you know, ringer that actually rings, a clanger, whatever you want to call that,
right.
inside the bell. So I pick up those two pieces and I take them back into the bedroom with me, and I set them on my bedside table. And I actually set this bell with the ringer up inside there, and I actually set it right, you know, flat to where that's how it would hang. And I just set it on my bedside table and thought, well, I'll have to look for it in the morning. So the next interesting thing was I went to sleep, wake up the next morning, and I'm making my bed. And all of a sudden, and you know, when I wake up, the bell's right there on my table still, like it hadn't moved. So I'm like making my bed a little bit later, and I'm throwing all the covers and sheets off, and all of a sudden I see something glittering on the floor, and I don't have a lot of stuff laying on my floor, so I thought, what in the world is that? And so I'm walking over there, and I bend down, and it is actually the ringer outside of the bell on my floor. So whatever that was, managed to pick up this bell, take the ringer out, and I don't know, the ringer was in my bed, obviously, because when I was changing the sheets and stuff, it kind of flew and was on the floor. It was over there on the floor. I'm assuming it flew out of my covers or something. But how that ringer got out of there, because the bell was still in the same place. So that's my second experience with the bell. And so now there's one more.
Well, let's go to a little break and we'll come back.
All right.
So I can tell your other story.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. WithInsights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
Poltergeist in the Lion's Lair with Adriana Arts.
Thanks, Iggy. Welcome back. Hope you're enjoying the show. I just finished my second bell story. And at this point, now this is the second event that's happened. This is when I really go, okay, you're definitely trying to tell me something. I'm not sure who you are. And I'm not sure if you're someone from my past, if you came with me. Or I really felt it was there at the property. And it was interesting because I knew the people that lived in here before I did. And I asked them if they had ever had any strange happenings in this house, noted anything. I didn't go into details, but I kind of just wanted to know if they'd seen or heard anything strange the whole time they lived there, because they lived there for a couple years. And they told me no. They had never heard or anything. But this led me on to thinking, okay, you're trying to communicate with me, and I'm not sure what it's about. I can tell at times you're a little bit angry here, and maybe it's because I wasn't trying to communicate right off the bat. so at this point, I started trying to communicate, and I kind of had conversations, you know. There was a couple of times when I could feel the hair on my head standing up, like electric big time, which was really strange because I had only ever experienced that outside in an electrical storm, you know, being with a lot of lightning, that sensation. That has happened in this house, but that was the only thing. So I also did a lot of praying. I felt that whatever this was, it's tied to the land that this house is built on. And I know I am a channel of sorts. I mean, I have a lot of intuition, and I do read, and I'm very open in my belief as far as that these things exist. So I really looked more into communicating, but I also did a lot of praying that I can help whatever this was. I wanted it to be able, if it was an angry spirit or, you know, whatever the reason that it was there, I wanted to try to help it find where it needed to go and to find peace. I still was not afraid, though. And I know I wasn't afraid because somewhere through all of these experiences, I never felt like it was trying to hurt me. It's just kind of really strange. I never felt that it was directed at me. I just really felt it's trying to get my attention, and I needed to try and help somehow. But that's still a mystery that I'm working on this much further as far exactly who and how to help. But I did start doing a lot of cleansing and praying and reading a lot more of other areas in my spirituality too, to address this. So then the third bell, and now keep in mind, I've been really praying and trying to help whatever this is when the third bell happens. And the third bell is completely different from the other two. Number one, it's hanging at the back door. Mm-hmm. And those were actually wind chimes. They're not actual bells like the other two. These are wind chimes, but they still ring. Now, when you ring a wind chime, you hear a whole bunch of chimes. You don't just hear one. So,
right.
What was different about this is, once again, it's about 10:30, 10:45 at night, and I actually had the TV on really low, and my dog is, of course, laying at the bottom of the bed with me, and I was actually almost dozing off even, and I heard my wind chime bell, my actual wind chime ring three times. It literally was just like you took the wind chime, the chain that hangs, and just hit one of those chimes three times.
One chime.
Mm-hmm. But three was the three. Three's a number that I'm associated with.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely comes at me. Everything does usually in threes. So there were three rings, and as soon as I heard them, my dog flew off the bed. She even knew that was the ones at the back door, not the front door. She flew off of my bed and was right at the back door barking and ready to go. I hear the three, rings, and my eyes come open. My dog's off the bed. And next thing I know, my four-poster bed that sits really high off the ground felt like a 300-pound man was at the foot of it and just shoved it literally back with me in it.
Wow.
Yeah, there was some serious energy that went from my back door through my house into my bedroom right at my bed, and actually like it shoved the bed with me in it.
That's crazy.
It was very crazy. So my dog's already in the kitchen, at the back door. I'm flying out of the bed because something just kind of almost threw me out of it in a way, in a sense. It just jolted me. And this bed is, we're talking a solid wood, very heavy wood, four-poster that goes almost up to the ceiling. And everything on it is wood. It's not an easy bed to actually shove or anything. You can't even hardly move it, without taking the mattresses off. I mean, it's really, really heavy. And so I'm flying out of the bed, and I'm going straight to the back door, too, because I also heard a really heavy piece of furniture move, but I didn't know what in the world could have moved in the living room or the kitchen area. So my dog's in there at the back door, and I go in, and I'm looking around and thinking, what did I hear? I have a thing at my back door that would definitely be hard for someone to get through it. They're sliders. And so I have something down there at the bottom. And so the first thing I looked at was to make sure that piece was still in there. Because if it wasn't in there, that means somebody had come through my door. And that's where my dog was barking. But the piece was still in there. So I was actually more at peace once I seen that it was still in its place, knowing that someone wasn't in my house. Whatever this was, they didn't come from the outside in. Whatever this was on the inside.
Wow.
Yeah, I felt more at peace actually knowing that for some reason. So don't
she
ask
pulls
me
out
why.
Her 45 Mad
yeah,
one.
All right,
ghost.
The big gun.
Yeah, she got her gun out, and then she's got her Ghostbusters catching Ray. You know, on the other hand,
my crystal Ray. So
I ain't
anyway.
Afraid of no ghost or human.
I tell you, it was definitely those three times have been amazing to experience. I've seen a lot in my whole life. I've had visions. I've had dreams. I've had premonitions. I've heard voices. But I've never experienced anything like these bells. And so the third bell troubled me. There was a lot of action. The piece of furniture that it moved in the other part of the house was an antique solid wood table that's in my kitchen. And that table is not easy to move either. And it actually was moved over a good 6 or 7 inches.
I've seen that table.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty heavy.
It's real heavy.
Yeah.
And so that was the other, that the way I took this once my mind processed this event was it kind of seemed like it came through my back door or from that back area, moved the table in the kitchen, rang the bell, moved the table in the kitchen, came straight into the bedroom, and just shoved my bed with me in it before anything even happened.
Sounds like an entity.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
My poltergeist.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
Poltergeists are—they move things. They're noisy. They're loud. They get your attention, from what I've read. So, I'm going to call this one a poltergeist. What do you call?
Well, it kind of has the feels of an entity, something that is kind of between two worlds.
Mm-hmm.
That it has some kind of—it's able to move physical objects.
Big physical.
And that's pretty big.
That's
to move a table, and you said it just shoved your bed, so mm-hmm.
It jolted. I mean, we're talking like really moved the bed with me in it.
Yeah.
That was just freaky. So what I was curious about, and I actually said this at the time once I really started processing all this, was this was at the back door. This was different. This was a lot more angry too. This was more of a force, and this one seemed angry. I don't even know if it was the same as the first two. You know, I kind of felt like the first two were the same, the same spirit
right.
or
mm-hmm.
whatever. This one, I don't know. But I felt anger and really mad. But keep in mind, I had really been praying that this leave, whatever this was, and that God, the Great Spirit, help it find its way to where it needed to go to find peace, to make peace and to find it. And so this went out the back door. Even though it felt like the events felt like it came through the back door,
mm-hmm.
I looked at it as it actually was a sign that it left, especially since that wind chime was rung 3 distinct times. And not all the chimes didn't ring. It was just one.
We do have a question in the chat room. They're,
mm-hmm.
they're asking if your place of residence is an old place.
It's not very old. It was actually built in the 50s. The development started in the 50s. I think my actual house was built. They kind of revisited and expanded this development in the early 70s. So the research that I did on this property was that it like a lot of lands in most of Ohio was from the Virginia military lands, and there is a creek nearby, there is a body of water, and through other experiences that I've had there in between these bells, they weren't the noisy like this, but I have seen some spirits, and I've always felt that there is definitely a Native American presence on
mm-hmm.
this land. And since the time frame is from 10:30 to 10:45, every time that these events actually have happened, I wondered if that isn't the time that, you know, this land was taken from Native Americans, and you know, a lot of them were slaughtered. Research, you know, that I did was really hard for me to read.
You know, it's kind of sad that kind of happened in our history here, but that's happened a lot all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is when these poor souls, these people who are, I mean, they're murdered, they're killed, and then they're just left to be buried wherever. There's really no ceremony, there's no ritual, there's no, it's trauma, you know, and it's a trauma that causes them to stay earthbound. And then what happens is they sometimes don't know they're dead. And then sometimes they do know they're dead, and they just can't go home because they're so angry. We really don't truly understand what happens, you know, between death and, you know, moving forward into the light. But there are some gaps in between. We call them purgatory. We call them, you know, the middle world, whatever. There's different things that we can look at. So what happens with these folks, what it sounds like is that maybe that you have some spirits that are trapped. And especially when you take someone else's energy and suppress their energy on top of them, you hold them down. You hold them. You bound them to that space.
Mm.
And when I was saying where they didn't know they were dead, well, so, you know, spiritually they're probably still doing the same things that they do every day, and just keep moving through life. And then you know what used to be a woods or used to be their home, they're just going right through your house, and so they're just doing what's normal. The bells and things get knocked around because you know you're in their space. There's like two objects trying to occupy the same space,
right.
And you can't technically, but you know, this defies physics and this defies any type of logic in that sense. So you have these entities are a little different than ghosts, and then but you have spirits, and these spirits, you know, they're to me personally, from my experience, the work I do, it sounds like they don't know they've died, and they need some kind of awakening and some kind of realization to say, hey, you know, you guys are dead, and if you're willing to go home, you're kind of the process. You've been kind of called. I think some of them are maybe reaching out to you, talking to you, and saying, hey, we don't know who you are or what you do, but we have a connection with you.
Yeah.
Because many people have come through here, and we resonate with you.
Yeah.
There are things that, you know, you're able to do to help them, you know, cross over.
Mm-hmm. Well, we discussed having you and a couple of other
There's different ways to handle the situation, but a lot of it's just honoring that they were there, they were there first. But that, like you said, that's a whole topic for another show.
Yeah.
But but that's kind of my
research of the land itself. I really felt this was, yes, I'm open to these things, and yes, I can see why I would probably be sort of a channel for these energies and everything. But I definitely have always felt it was a Native American presence here, and I've been shown through spirits, actual spirits, and things to lead me to believe that it's been a Native American. I think there was a village there. That's where they lived.
It could be, because anything close to the creek bed, anything that moved running water and stuff, that would make sense.
So, there is my experience on my poltergeist, definitely. But you know, since the last spell, that's been about a year and a half since the third bell. This all happened just within like 1 year's time frame, from March to like the end of February. Exactly, those three.
You know, in my culture too, the ringing of bells signifies of coming of new things. So, and releasing of old things. So you have your three bells, and then depending how you're interpreting the read through that, it could be your messages to you that certain things will be happening to you. This is going to happen. This could possibly happen. By the third one, it's just, this is the final. They're like stages. And you've been there, what, 3 years now?
Well, you know, I actually felt that also. After the first spell, as bizarre as that whole experience was for me to really accept and wrap my head around, good things started happening in my life right after that. And so I literally say, you know, where's my bell ringer? Because every time those bells have rung, even though that's been something most people would say was scary, you know, or whatever, good events or good people and major events have happened in my life. That's been nothing but good experiences.
Yeah, and I kind of picked up on that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to understand your story as you were sharing it. And that's just my take. I mean, you can take it for what it is. I mean,
no, I appreciate it.
You know, it's kind of one of those traditional things that we talk about. Mm-hmm. You know, I know here in the United States they have something like that, something about three bells that rings. I don't know how that works.
I've always heard bells mean an angel is visiting, but, you know, some people call spirits angels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it depends on how you look at spirits and or angels, too.
Both worlds exist simultaneously, so.
That they do. So.
Our ancestors never die.
So, I'd love to have a caller call in if there's anyone out there with a real-life experience to share.
There's no one on the line at the moment, but if you do have an experience or something that you want to share, or, you know, real briefly, you don't have to get too complicated if you want. I mean, the call-in number is 646-595-3440, and that's 646-595-3440. We're going to go to a break, and we will return, and we hope you're enjoying this segment this month about poltergeists, because I am. I don't think I've said two words.
Feel free to call in and just give us your opinion, too.
Yeah.
Do you think, you know, poltergeist is associated with land or ground, or is it actually associated with a person? Because
mm-hmm.
there is a difference there in beliefs out there. Mm-hmm. I tend to think it could be both.
All right, we'll go to break.
Thank you.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self. Roar.
Welcome to the Lion's Lair.
Roar.
Roar.
I love my ghost.
Hey, there's three bells. And we're back.
And there's this bell.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, we'll wait while some people are calling and stuff, but it's funny, I get this kind of stuff all the time. This is a big part of my business that I do, you know, through shamanism is helping clearings, helping people, you know, clear things off of them. And one of the biggest things that I tried to, you know, when someone doesn't really want my services per se because they can't afford it or they just feel like they want to try it themselves, I kind of give them pointers and I give them ideas to do things is to have an open mind, number one. Mm-hmm. To have an open mind and just expect anything not to expect anything at all, because sometimes we want things to happen and occur, like the bells, you know, they don't ring anymore. It doesn't mean that they're not ringing. Maybe there's other things going on that you're just not paying attention to. You know, things being misplaced, things being moved, you know, something that you probably thought you did yourself. But what I usually tell people when they're doing this type of, when they're going to do a clearing is to, number one, be prepared for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because, you know, you just don't know what you're dealing with, especially when you're dealing with things that you don't understand.
Right.
So I will always ask people, you know, to either have sage. Sage is a very big, powerful tool, you know, in clearing and cleansing. And also cedar as well, because we have to purify and cleanse. So you have different sacred objects that you need. But prayer is probably the biggest thing. You know, praying and setting high and protective intentions and that a higher purpose be served. Because we're dealing with some things that are kind of out of our control sometimes. These can be, we can unlock parts of things, you know, inside of ourselves and create emotional rifts inside of us that will just start triggering our emotions and feelings. But the biggest thing is when you're in the house is to understand that the house you're in or building or land had purpose, that it was something else.
Right.
kind of like you were talking about, you know, when the people live there by the riverbank, by the creek bank, you know, that everything had its purpose. You know, we're such a throwaway society here in our country, and just about anywhere now, that we don't respect the land. We don't respect, you know, someone who sat in a chair. We don't acknowledge, you know, sitting in someone else's chair, you know, is, you know, you're picking up energy from other people, mm-hmm. energetic pool. I mean, you do. We are energy, and we leave that. So there are. I know, and I've had this situation where I've sat in someone's chair and I've felt crappy.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. So I try to, at least in my mind, subconsciously. You know, I do it subconsciously now more than I do it verbally. Is, you know, give thanks. Mm-hmm. Give thanks to whatever you're doing. You know, give thanks to the process. And so when you're in this house, you know, one of the biggest things in people who do clearance stuff probably are familiar with this, but we tend to open doors and windows, okay? We open doors and windows because sometimes that is, the window represents another way in or another way out. A door represents a doorway to go through. What happens is we don't let energy get stagnated like anything, so we have to let air in to flow and cleanse. Like spring is the best time for doing clearings and out for stuff like that. And then you just ask whatever is in, you know, and give thanks to the poltergeist, the entity, mm-hmm. the ghost, you know, whatever is there. You know, I thank you for being here, but, you know, I don't need you anymore, and I think our time is done. You have to set parameters, and you have to set intentions, and you have to set prayers, and invite them to go. You know, some people say cross into the light, or so just the door's open, you need to go back into the universe to maybe be recycled to the highest purpose. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes what happens, what I've learned and I've seen why people can't get rid of entities and can't get rid of things, is because they send them out the door, but they don't send them with a purpose and a mission. Mm-hmm. Okay, so just like anything, any creature of habit, spirit of habit, they come back. They come right back to you, the same spot.
Right.
Because it's familiar. You know, there's an energy, there's a signature there. Kind of like our animals, you know, they learn to know how to come home.
Yeah.
Well, spirits do the same thing. They come home. That's where they live. They lived there before you did.
Right.
So that's why they resonate and they come back. So that's why we invite them to go back to the God, back to the universe, back, step into the light, you know. Mm-hmm. Here's some holy water, you know, to close the parameters off. I have solar water here in this blue bottle on my desk mm-hmm. that I set in the sun. And that's charged with, you know, the ions of the sun in the blue. It catches the blue. The light, the blue catches certain rays of the sun, mm-hmm. which cause it to become holy. But we use these things, and you have to invite them to believe. I mean, you shouldn't have to invite them, but you have to. You have to let them. You have to talk to them like if you were talking. I was talking to you.
I did. I mean, that's important. Did try to communicate.
Communication is very important.
I really did.
I mean, a lot of people go, ghosts leave, la la la. You know, it doesn't work that way. You actually have to have a conversation. You have to listen to what they're saying because they're talking to you. They're communicating mm-hmm. to you, and they're saying things to you at a level that you can't maybe not understand, but emotionally you can feel it through your body. You can, your hair stands up, your heart races, your mouth gets parched, you feel the cold air changing. I've done clearings with a house upstairs is like cold, then you go down in the basement, it's like warm, which shouldn't be that way. You know, there's all kinds of things, or you'll see some house clearings where there's a whole wasp nest has taken over a corner of an attic.
Mm-hmm.
Huge, you know, not little, I'm talking about huge. And then birds are getting into that. I mean, animals, number one, are they that's their natural habitat. So as soon as we smack a house right in front of them, mm-hmm. these spirits and these animals are just doing their natural thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've heard of deer busting through people's windows. You know, you've heard of birds hitting windows. You've heard all kinds of stuff. Well, the animals just remember. They have like this DNA remembrance, and they go through and they just do the natural thing. They go across, you know, the roads. They get hit across the roads because they're going home. They're crossing. That was their homes before we were here. And they have genetic miasms too in their bodies where they recognize and they remember, you know, that where to go. That's how animals can spawn back to where they came from. I know we're going off topic a little bit, but
I love it.
But spiritually, animals have the same thing. Animals have spirits. They have souls. They have things that we have, mm-hmm. you know. Our cerebral cortex is different than theirs. It's more evolved, so that's why we have this capacity to think and do the things that we do. Doesn't mean that we're better than them,
no.
you know.
They certainly have the ability to do that
yeah.
also.
Well, you know, and they do, and they are evolving.
They're a lot smarter, actually.
Yeah, and you know, animals are evolving at a high rate.
Yeah.
But that's what I would do. either if you can't do it yourself, find somebody who can in your community. There's plenty of people out there who will clear your home.
Well, I've, like I said, I've, it's kind of led me to where I am now, sitting right here and actually getting to know you, and you've taught me a lot about sage and clearing, and I've added that into mm-hmm. when I pray. I've always prayed and blessed my home. Usually I also do it with oil mm-hmm. that I pray, you know. But I do a lot of different things. I read scriptures. There's always scripture that I'm led to help whatever it is I'm wanting to cleanse my house from. I'm led to read certain things or to or I'm shown certain things I need to do. You've actually been with around you and associated, and you know, I've watched a lot of your ceremony at different places, and we've talked a lot about what you do. You know, I sage now. I outside and inside with mm-hmm. sage. I also use salt. I always use salt and oil
sure.
originally when I pray, and I still do. So, I, you know, when I really felt like this was something that wasn't at peace, I just wasn't quite sure how many or who or what at that point. That's the way I started setting my prayers and intentions, was to, for God or the Great Spirit to help lead them and help them find their peace. And I actually said I was sorry for whatever it was, because I, at times I grieved,
mm-hmm.
and that was the energy I felt, was grief. And I said, I'm sorry, you know, I'm sorry if I was there, you know, if I'm
right,
in their
right.
space, but I'm sorry for whatever had happened to them. And since the third happening, you know, that's been like about a year and a half, I think, there's not been anything. And since then, there just hasn't. And anybody that comes over says, usually says, you know, they're very comfortable in
right.
my home. I've always asked God to bless my home and prayed and done things. Wherever.
You come at the right time. You might get dinner or lunch or breakfast.
yeah.
Some of us have been blessed for that.
yeah, but I, you know, I like to have a welcoming home. And if I'm glad I wasn't afraid of these experiences, that somehow I knew that they weren't there to hurt me. They were trying to get my attention, and
mm-hmm.
somehow I felt like I was supposed to help them.
Let's take a caller and see what they've been thinking about the show, if they've been listening.
Sure,
so,
I'd love
right
to.
Right. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, what's going on?
Hello.
Hey, I live out down the hills, and I got a big old 1880s 14-room house, and I got a couple ghosts running around here, and I've been seeing them for probably off and on for 20 years.
They got clothes on?
Are they throwing things around?
yes, they
are.
Have
they noisy
on.
Ones?
All right, cool.
Are they
actually,
the actual poltergeist?
I'd be a naked.
Yeah, movie. Actually, it's the original owners of the house. He was a kind of like a tycoon in his day. He was into coal and oil, and he was a newspaper man. And he sort of roams around downstairs, and then his daughter roams around upstairs. And periodically,
wow.
Depending on the time of year, we see them all the time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Doors will open and close and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah. Have you ever felt threatened by them at all?
I have not, but my friends have been sort of driven out of the house.
Really? So they probably didn't like your friend's energy then?
Something along
those
lines. Yeah, they just weren't comfortable being around here, and they sort of dismissed them, you know.
Have you ever communicated and like, talked with them? Have they talked with you? Or...
I talk to the lady upstairs is Alice, and I talk to her every once in a while, but she doesn't talk back. She more like comes in your dreams, and she'll point at things, and
uh-huh.
sort of like, you know, pay attention to this, and that's about it.
Wow.
That's cool.
Very yeah. good.
See,
so there
a
are ghosts out in the hills.
Well, I got a question for you. When you do home clearings too, don't you, sometimes?
Yes.
Now, have you had any experiences, I mean, anything that you've run into, anything that you've...
A long time ago, I had to do some work, and yeah, that was pretty hair-raising as far as the hairs on your back of the neck, and it wasn't a pleasant altercation, but we did our job, and I think we sort of banished them from the premises, yeah.
Good.
I just, unfortunately, I caught the tail end of your program. I wanted to get on earlier, and it's like, oh, my, I'm missing the show, you know. So
I'm glad you called in and shared, because, you know, I just find it all fascinating. And, you know, well, definitely, it's just nice to know that you're not the only person out there that this stuff's happening to, or you know, there's so many other people out there I know that just won't probably ever even tell their experience because they don't want people to think they're crazy or
that's it, yeah, that's
you know
it. Yeah, there's more going on and people want to let you know out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to come down and see if Alice likes us.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I hope
yeah.
so. Yes. Please do.
We'll make all it right, a weekend.
That's it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gare.
All right. Blessed be.
Blessed be.
I guess we're just about out of time.
Okay.
So I guess tomorrow we'll be on the air.
Yeah,
Spontaneous Spirit Talk. So those of you who want to tune into another segment, I'll probably talk a little bit more. And I was so intrigued with your story today.
I thank you. I'm glad. I'm glad you shared what you did for the clearing also. I think somebody definitely out there besides me even, you know, really that's going to help someone.
And that was real brief, so if they want more information,
yeah,
they can check us out.
Yeah. It's been a wonderful show. I've loved it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. And
thank you.
I'd like to thank our listeners, and we will see what next month's topic will be. I have to think about this one.
Scuba diving. No, I'm just kidding. All right.
All right. We love you, and have a good rest of your week.